This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget Norway, they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Norway, they sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget Norway, they turned their backs on Paul Bogle. Hey, so don't you forget who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got
good afternoon, good afternoon. All the wonderful folks here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, those around the world listening in, welcome to Remark here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is a hot day out there, I'm telling you. It's not even July as yet, and the heat in the Bahamas is on. Any drop of rain that we have available in this universe, please send it this way. During the nights, if you got any type of comfort for those people who lack air conditioning and no breeze at all, please send coolness our way. But you know, even with the heat and all, we understand that it only gets as hot in the Bahamas as our hearts are warm. Anyone wanting to visit this beautiful country, now is the time to do so. The waters are crystal clear, turquoise colored, and when you immerse yourself in there, listen, man, it is just healing to the body that is fatigued. And so, Remark today, I have in studio with me none other than your co-host, Darwin Russell. He's here. And we want to have a good conversation today. We want you to be a part of that conversation. This is a talk show where we have fresh news, smart talk all day, every day. And you know, this is your favorite show on a Sunday. And even though we're going to have Trish next week at 4 p.m., Trish Hannah, listen, man, she's just going to get it warmed up. By the time you get to Remark, you know we will be on fire. And I hope that when we end our show, even today, that we can cool you down. And so, Darwin Russell, if you want to greet the people, and then we can jump into this show today.
Happy, happy Sunday, everybody. As usual, my friend, it is wonderful to be here in this beautiful country called the Bahamas. I'm excited.
And I'm excited to be here as well. Now, for those people, this is your first time listening in, keep your dials right there on 96.9 FM. If you're not wearing your seatbelt while you're driving now, you need to put your seatbelt on because it's for your own safety. But Remark is going to interest you so much, we don't want anything happening to you. So even if you're home in your lazy boy chair, you're in your bedroom, put your seatbelt on. We want to have a hot show today. We want to take off today. So for those of you, this is your first time, let me throw some phone numbers out there to you first before we get started. If you got your pen in hand or you have your cell phone in hand, let me throw those numbers out very, very quickly. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, toll free, 300-5720. And if you're at work and you cannot speak, but you'd like to say something to us here at Remark, you can text us at 422 4-2-2-4-7-9-6. That's 4-2-2-4-7-9-6. Darvin Russell, you know, I appreciate you so much, my brother. I appreciate the way you think. I appreciate your mind. So many things happened this week. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to have an open mic today mm-hmm. of those people who call the talk shows mm-hmm. religiously or those people who would like to be a part of any conversation, and you did not have an opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. Today, I will open the phone lines for you to call in. I will answer your calls, and we will join you in your thought processing. However, I do not want you to feel as if I am void of thought and void of discussion. Mm-hmm. And so what is fresh on my mind today, Darvin Russell, is something called political respect. Mm. Political respect. Let me start off with just political respect. Mm-hmm. We've seen that the Free National Movement has had 17 nominees come forward. Mm-hmm. They've been nominated, and they're coming to the front of the line. We see a whole lot of movement mm-hmm. in the Progressive Liberal Party. I did watch some accusatory comments last night coming from the COI mm-hmm. About their opening of their national headquarters. Mm-hmm. I understand it's supposed to be a very impressive mm-hmm. Facility. And in all of that saying, as we move forward, I have experienced myself, and I don't know if you've done felt the same thing, Darvin, mm-hmm. or any of you listening, that as we draw closer to the election, people tend to want to label you,
yeah.
and based on that label, mm-hmm. they are prepared to disrespect you. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if they are prepared to belittle you mm-hmm. if you are not a part of the organization that they prefer. Mm-hmm. Even if you're on your job, they now look at you as if we need to find a way to fire you mm-hmm. and get rid of you as if you don't have any bills mm-hmm. or any responsibilities. In your family, there's a distancing where you got to be stupid mm-hmm. because you do not believe as I believe. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing all of this partiality, indifference, schisms, divisions. And even now, as we have had 17 people nominated, mm-hmm. even within the organization where everyone should be the same, mm-hmm. there are people who are now grumbling and complaining and prepared to attack if necessary mm-hmm. because they were not chosen for a particular constituency. Mm-hmm. And so in this upcoming election cycle, Darvin Russell, I really want to fully understand as a Christian mm-hmm. nation. You know, I like to pick on Christianity sometimes. As a Christian nation where God is a God of love, and people talk about order, and people talk about, you know, how we all should be heavenly minded and no earthly good. When it comes to Bahamian politics, it seems to me as if this takes a credence over our spirituality. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
No, I think saying as validity, my friend, you know, we call it silly season for a reason. I think between now and the day of the election, there will be all kind of machinations from one side or the other. And that is to be expected. If you've been around politics in the Bahamas for even two election cycles, you recognize how things change. Even family members don't want to speak to one another during the season because they wear two different colors. And we have to deal with a certain level of disrespect. We'll always say to you, if you're going to enter into this space, you have to make sure you have a thick skin, because that's true. The one thing that I would still say about politics in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is we at least still exercise some degree of restraint and decorum when it comes to, on average, the family members of politicians. Mm. It's still typically just about the politician, the person running. It's not about the wife, the girlfriend, the parents, the siblings, the children. So I appreciate that about the way that we practice politics in this country. Pretty much outside of that, all bets are off. I mean, we could call you slow. I mean, you're looking at Mr. Trump over to the north, mm-hmm. and he called former President Biden Sleepy Joe. He had nicknames for everybody. This comes with the territory, right?
You think so?
It comes with the territory.
And in America, but what about the Bahamas?
No, in the Bahamas, it comes with the territory.
For
you know,
who?
For all and sundry. If you at the way in which all of our politicians have nicknames, right? The delivery boy. I forget what Mr. Christie's nickname was. You called Mr. Ingram also Papa. There are a lot of...
But Papa...
No, I understand what you mean with the difference between nicknames and respect.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't get too hung up on somebody calling, for example, the Prime Minister Philip. I think Mr. Pintar did that at what, one of his rallies or whatever the case
you,
may
you
be.
You don't get called up?
No, I don't.
Why is that?
Simply because if he did that in a formal setting and he was addressing the United Nations, yes, that would be a problem. From a rally stage, this is no. I don't have any difficulty with him doing that. I don't have any difficulty with the Prime Minister calling him by his first name off of a rally stage.
But that's different. No,
why is it different? Because he's the sitting Prime Minister and he's the leader of the opposition? Why is it different? If you're going to use the barometer or the measure of respect, shouldn't respect go both ways? So, but this is, like I say, my humble opinion. You are free. You know, we all free to have our own opinions on this. But I'm saying I don't get bent out of shape about it. And I think that in politics in the Bahamas, I am more concerned with you saying something that is liable or scandalous, that is untrue about me, my first name. That's just Darvin's personal opinion.
Well, folks, you heard it from Darvin Russell, an educated man, a man who is a businessman. You heard his view just now on the calling of your Prime Minister. No issue with that. He thinks it's just something casual, that no real international significance to that. And nationally, we should just appreciate the fact that it's the silly season. If you differ with that explanation, I would like to hear from you. I'm not going to go ahead and fight my friend on the Sunday because, you know, the truth be told on talk radio, you're the co-host. And sometimes they say some things just to see what you're going to say. And I am not going to let him pull me into that dark room. He wants me to go off, and I'm not going to do that today, Wally. It's good to have you today, Wally. He's on the board with us today. Let me give out those numbers. 323-625-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of Ireland, 300-5720, or you can text 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Caller,
go ahead.
Turn your radio down for us, please.
Welcome.
Hey there, Garth, Nico.
Go ahead, my friend, Nico. Go ahead, Mr. Moscow.
Hello to your co-host as well.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry, I was driving my car, the battery died, and I was driving around and I was listening. As you know, I listen every day. As an open line, I would like to throw something provocative out, mm-hmm. if you two gentlemen don't mind.
Go ahead.
And it has to do with reverse racism.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys okay with that?
Go ahead, let's see what you got. The point.
Where are the white people?
With nominees or
the nominees?
Okay,
I know they have.
Okay.
Someone in South.
And also the speech from the throne from the FNM. These humble, wonderful people, or I don't remember the entire dialogue. And the last time I checked, I can read and listen, and unfortunately, I can't walk with because of a ruptured disc.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the white people?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not white. I'm considered white. I'm Greek. I'm brown.
Mm-hmm.
Why is everything, and the most sophisticated people mm-hmm. are not in the running
okay.
for any party?
Okay. Okay.
Now, I ask you guys, mm-hmm. now, racism, it's reverse racism.
Okay.
We've been dealing with this for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a black country.
Mm-hmm.
This is a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a big problem with the Bahamian flag because it's black, yellow, blue,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's stitched with white, and the pole is white,
mm-hmm.
right? We've been ostracized from day one, right? Without the white populace, we'd be in a significant problem. And we are actually looked down on and spoken to that we are substandard. But I'm not. I'm Greek, and quite frankly, I really don't care. You're putting politics that we don't even know who they are. They're kids compared to me, and Garth is younger than I am. They're kids. I don't mean my country. Getting votes, you're putting these people in for your party. You're not doing justice to the other country. You're doing it for personal gain. You need people to run for the country. And us that are highly astute, highly educated, and highly, highly respected in the environment, and because we're white, in the Bahamian vernacular, we're not called upon. We offer services, we do a number of things, and we prop that beautiful flag. Where are the white people? And I have assailed Guardian Radio because everything is about African that, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm tired of it. My family has been here from the 1930s or 1920s, late 1920s. We are Bahamians. And being ostracized is, I'm disgusted and I'm tired of it. I've worked very hard in my life, so has my family. Where are the white faces? There was a joke on Guardian Radio that they couldn't see Adrian White's face on the FNM Post because he was white on a white background. Shame.
Okay.
The entire country has to stop the reverse racism.
I like your point. Let's see if we can open the phone lines to respond to you today. And I think it's a valid assertion. Let me throw those numbers out. Thank you for your call, Mr. Moscow. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, a violent 300-5720, 422-4796 if you want to text us. You heard what they said, the assertion from Mr. Moscow. When it comes to politics in our country, we speak about the divides that exist. We talk about the levels of disrespect, disregard. And now we're hearing that there's still a reverse racism in the country where we were under colonial rule, which appeared to be white-dominated. And now that we are in an era where our politicians and our leaders are of a darker skin hue, that the people who previously were assumed to be those who were in masterhood have now become subservient, or they're suffering at the hands of us because we are racist. We make things difficult for those people who are of the Caucasian or other races in the country, like the Orientals, or et cetera. Darwin, you want to respond to that, or you want me to go to phone lines?
I mean, we can do both. My position on that is, I don't think that I respect Mr. Moscow's opinion, but I don't think that that's factually accurate. I mean, white Bahamians make up probably 10-12% of the population. So if you look at the representation in parliament, that's 39 seats. That would mean about 4 seats to be proportional in terms of representation. We have Mr. Sweeting currently as a sitting member of parliament. We have had...
that's Clay Sweeting.
Clay Sweeting. The FNM just nominated...
John Pender was Central and South Abaco.
Right.
Okay.
The gentleman from Long Island, Mr. Cartwright. And these are just what's coming to my mind
with
Adrian.
Adrian
White. Right. Uh-huh. Then you have Mr. Sweeting in South Abaco, who was just nominated by the FNM this time around. So, Ms. Nett, obviously. But we have had a history, you know, if you go all the way back to majority rule, where white people were represented in the parliament. Now, if his argument is they're not represented sufficiently, that's fine. You're entitled to that as your opinion. But we all know that his country, when we were under minority rule for the majority of our nation's history.
Mm-hmm.
So becoming majority rule in 67, I would think that the pendulum swung in the way in which it would have been appropriate for you to be governed by your parliament should represent and be representative of the people it governs. So I don't know. I just have a different view than Mr. Moscow on that. But
I think the key word in his commentary was that of racism. Mm-hmm. I want to hit that a bit, but I got to give the caller some respect. Caller, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, hello, hello. Chris Davis here.
Hi, Chris.
Also known as John Canute
II.
I've been on several other Guardian shows, regular listener.
Yes, sir.
I was quite surprised. Well, actually not that surprised, because I'm quite familiar with that caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to call him out on his racism, as a matter of fact. And you see, we as Bahamians, and that comments when he talk about he don't like the black and the Bahamian flag and all of these things, it's truly disturbing, right? So let me just, if you just give me, allow me 1 or 2 minutes. I work at the Carriers Authority. I am myself an historian. And I think it would do the country a great service to actually have trained historians, people who study race, sociologists, to actually comment on these things. So first of all, the suggestion that there exists this sort of reverse racism where all of a sudden whites or white Bahamians are the ones that are ostracized, it's just completely asinine and lacks complete foundation, you know. And when we talk about racism, you know, this exists on a totem pole. It's rooted in 19th century terms like scientific racism, social Darwinism, right? And when it comes to people of African descent, this racism exuded in the halls of universities like Yale and Harvard. Even here in the Bahamas, they would have things called freak shows. You know, up until the late 1950s, it was customary to visit a zoo and actually see African people displayed side by side with chimpanzees, right? This also deals with the complexities of race. It is true, of course, that race in itself is a social construct, but it is one that is loosely based on ethnicity.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Russell, your comments were quite refreshing, but I would, if I may respectfully correct one part, because there's this common misconception where whites are actually overrepresented in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And there's this assumption that we are 12 or 10% white. Now, let's break those numbers down a bit. Do you really think that one out of every 10 Bahamians are white? No. We could go anywhere and look around, right? So that's number one. When you look at the CIA documents, where they, of course, use the American one-drop rule system of race, you understand? You see how this thing exudes. And according to the CIA, who have no reason to lie about ethnicity based on ethnicity, not race, we are actually about 5% white, to be more accurate.
Let me hold on. Don't go beyond that because I actually want an answer to that question.
Right.
So why is that the case? Because if you look at census data, it supports the point that I made. So are you saying based on the way in which it's defined, I am only white? So a Conky Joe would not be considered white?
No. So
that's interesting. Okay.
But not outside of the Bahamas, right? So let me just put it simply. So quote-unquote white Bahamian from Long Island.
Yes.
You have great scholars like Sean McRaney, as a matter of fact, who wrote in his book all about this, where whiteness in the Bahamas does not conflate to whiteness in, say, a place like Canada, United States,
that's interesting.
Western Europe, right? The racist scholar even made a comment that he's Greek. And, of course, we know that as race is attached to ethnicity, being quote-unquote white essentially means that you are a person of European descent.
Okay,
right? Where's Greece?
Well,
Greece?
I don't want to get too much into the name callings and the back and forth. But
he used the term reverse racism.
Yeah.
So I can use my term and use racism and remove it. But to suggest that he's insulted by the black flag, to suggest that there's some aggressive move towards racism towards white people in the Bahamas is absolutely ridiculous. Particularly when you consider, as Yon mentioned, the march up to majority rule, where we had white politicians, white real estate companies, we have all of these people that have massively disenfranchised Bahamians. This is something that affects every black Bahamian, right?
But
I could also... Sorry, go ahead.
This black in the flag that we continue to talk about, the black in the flag isn't for the race of the people, is it?
I would actually argue that
it's
for the
strength.
It's
really supposed to be the strength of people, and the color black was given to represent the strength.
That was actually sort of tapered over time to make people like the last caller a little more comfortable, in my humble opinion. So let's look at majority rule, right? So this majority rule is, of course, the culmination that's leading to independence, the founding of the flag itself. We should have no shame in the black in our flag, as it does in Jamaica, as it does in Ghana, and all these other countries representing that, particularly within the context of us not being granted independence, but gaining independence. Mm-hmm. You following me?
I do.
So we have to be very careful and not buying in to the sort of what we're essentially amounted from British propaganda, right, of us believing that, well, racism does not exist in the Bahamas and it's not a spot. Mm-hmm. And it's that narrative has been so entrenched in our national psyche.
Yeah.
And it's not just white Bahamians that say it, black Bahamians say it too. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea of benevolent slave masters being nonviolent. And then, of course, there's the entitled racist sort of white outlook of the world that you often see in parts of the United States, mm-hmm. where he was actually suggesting that they have made all of these great and wonderful contributions, mm-hmm. and that we should, in fact, be grateful for these things. And this idea that the country would not function, right? Mm-hmm. We have to remember that racism is real. It does not mean that every Caucasian Bahamian, white Bahamian, Congo Joe, whatever terminology you want to use, is racist, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are certainly ignorant, right? And racism comes in other forms. And so, white supremacy is certainly real in the Bahamas.
So
you could just look at the demographics today. So as the United States has the proverbial white trailer park, the Bahamas mm-hmm. does not have the proverbial white trailer park. In fact, many white Bahamians in the Bahamas are high up in the upper percentile.
Okay.
With only a few, if any, living under the proverbial poverty line.
So
right?
Watch this now. Yeah. Watch this now. So we made the conversation about the whites, the blacks in the Bahamas, right?
Right.
How racist would you say we are as a black people? Let me hear this.
You mean us as black people towards other races?
Yes. Other people, period.
In that context?
Period.
Oh, yeah, certainly. So a lot of xenophobia, and it's tied inextricably to xenophobia as well. So first of all, remember this term, black is a social construct. And the people that I identified as black, culturally, linguistically, down to our DNA, are actually the most diverse people in the world. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's first and foremost what we have to realize. So if you want to talk about, for example, Haitian xenophobia, right, so in the discussions of our immigration, for example, you always have several city people popping up and saying really egregious things that I don't even need to repeat or go through. I mean, we all see it. We all know that it exists in certain pockets of our society, right? Mm-hmm. So in that sense, mm-hmm. yes. But remember, racism is a systematic thing, and it's structural, and it mainly deals with power. So black people... So black people laughing at a photo of Adrian White, you understand, mm-hmm. does not conflate to the massive, to the century and a half or so of massive land grabs that are based in the truck and credit system that even, and we ain't even talking about slavery, we talking out of slavery, right? And it's not about pointing fingers or sort of creating this balancing scale, but the truth is actually the truth. And if in fact we decide to diminish a big aspect of the struggle of this country, which is in fact race, right? So when we say majority rule, what is that term majority rule based on? It's based on our shared African heritage and nothing else.
Well, you're giving us
based on
you're giving us a whole lot to, giving us a whole lot to think of.
This was a good conversation.
Right,
let me get some more folks into this conversation, but I appreciate
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, good.
Yes, sir. Sorry for taking
no,
so long.
Man, no, man, that was good education.
We'll continue to support us and enjoy the show. Good.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay.
You know, I'm listening and you know, I'm a very open-minded person.
You are.
I've been exposed to races and international individuals, countries around the world. Mm-hmm. The white and black conversation to me is one that at times bothers me, and I'll mm-hmm. tell you why. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had the days of racism where the whites were the majority, and, you know, they really did a whole lot of generational damage.
Yes.
We now are in larger numbers, and the way we now treat each other, we might as well have been white, as far as I'm concerned, based on the behavior of whites in the past. And I'll tell you why, mm-hmm. Darvin Russell. Mm-hmm. We're talking about politics and respect mm-hmm. today. But I have been in America, mm-hmm. and the black American treats me differently being a Caribbean black, because as far as they're concerned, we need to stay in the Caribbean where we belong. Whereas they've been fighting in America for over 400 years. They sit in captivity, mm-hmm. and they need to get their 1 acre and a mule first.
Okay.
Okay. Here in the Bahamas, we treat the Haitian people the same way. You know, what are you coming here for? You don't have no passport. You don't have no documentation, or the governor's giving it to you. You can't speak a lick of English. What you doing here? The Greeks are saying, as Mr. Mosca was saying earlier, that, you know what? Yes, the past may have been horrific for you, but I'm still here. And me still being here, am I still not a Bahamian? And what does that mean for me to be a Bahamian? Because most people could only see as far as either your heritage or your skin color.
Okay.
In terms of politics, he must have had a reason for mentioning representation in politics. And I do believe it's probably because he himself, or he knows of other people of their particular skin hue, mm-hmm. who have made an attempt to get into frontline politics. Mm-hmm. And because they were not accepted,
right.
Possibly rejected, mm-hmm. They're asking questions now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the question has to do so much, Mr. Darvin Russell, for them having more representation in the House of Assembly, as much as they feeling as if there are so many of them that want to represent this country, but not given the affordability to do so. I'm getting kind of all those messages in there. And then listening to our last caller, mm-hmm. Who was very knowledgeable, I stand with the black and the flag being symbolic of a people's strength.
Okay.
I don't know if we can go down that road of skin hue. I think that would be wrong, even if that was their initial intention.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that we're going to have to erase from our minds, that this is what it stands for. Our flag has to be bigger and greater than just the color representing a skin color. It has to be about the inner strength of a people that's prepared to go forward, upward, and onward together. We got to take a break, folks. I see your call. We'll be right back.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Big plans, unexpected expenses, whatever life throws your way, Fidelity is here with loans tailored to fit any of your personal financial needs. With a quick turnaround and a built-in savings that pays you interest, we make battling unexpected expenses easy. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
It's just one of those Sundays. You know, I thought this was going to be like the last Sunday in the month. And I thought I was going to be able to just cruise into July. You know, July 14th is my birthday. You know, when you take July 4th and July 10th and put it together, it's mm-hmm. July 14th. I'm that type of guy, mm-hmm. you know. But y'all got to be working on a Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, talking about this whole idea of political respect. We got into the racial disrespect mm-hmm. When it comes to our nation. And that was tipped off by one Mr. Nico Mosco. And then, of course, we had Chris calling in, and he was making his point strong. It's a very, very strong conversation. It's a very difficult conversation. And, you know, you got the producer smiling. David is looking at me, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? I have to be as objective as possible, sit in the middle of this. And hopefully by the end of the show, you can call in and help Garth Roseborough to make sense of all of this discussion. And so if someone actually disagrees with your opinion, please have the majority to appreciate that we all do not think alike. That's why here on Remark, this is where the opinions meet the facts, right here. Remark. And you know the rest of it, right? When fiction meets reality. And so let me give those numbers out again. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. We got a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, ATL here.
Good afternoon.
Hey, ATL, what's going on, my brother?
How are y'all doing today?
Fantastic.
Hey, we're doing good over here. How's it over there in the ATL? Is it as hot as it is here?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's always good to speak with you, Garth. And by all means, Mr. Russell, it is always a pleasure.
I hope you're calling to help us because you're right where the Martin Luther King Center is. And you are in a historical place where the council...
Say it one more time, please, Garth.
You are right now residing in the place where the Martin Luther King Memorial Center is. And, of course, the city of Atlanta is very familiar with racial situations. I don't know if you... calling in based on the recent conversation about racism here in the Bahamas, how it divides, and the need for more white representation in the House of Assembly, and what now exists in our country in terms of racial division. Did you hear that part of the show?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay.
And that's what I'm calling about.
Go ahead, sir. Appreciate
it. Go right ahead, AT. I like it.
So here we go. From what I understand, we should gain candidates from our community. Is that not true?
Yes.
Okay. So when we look at the candidates that we presently have, is that not a direct reflection of our society?
Yes. To a degree, okay. Yes. It's so, not proportional, but it is represented.
Not proportional.
You're talking about racially or just talking about generally or politically?
Politically.
Yeah.
Politically. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to stay focused on the politics of the conversation. Okay.
Indeed.
So, in the event that we were to garner more candidates of the lighter hue, would the population of that said constituency focus on having that lighter hue candidates win, or would they view it as white supremacy?
Jeez.
Go ahead, okay. Governor. So, you want to respond to him, but you're not finished yet. Go ahead.
So what I'm saying is, and I do understand where Mr. Moscow is going, and I really understand it, and I credit him on saying that he is down. I did hear that. He put that in there. But what I would like us to understand is the mindset of the voter. What I want us to understand is the social order of the Bahamas, in that there are very few people in the inner cities who would say they will elect someone from a lighter hue to represent them if they are not from them. Validation. It was said that those individuals from the lighter hue is in a higher or different class than those people of darker hue.
Yes.
So in Bahamian politics, we like to relate to personalities. You want to go ahead and shake your hand. We want you to come to the weddings and the funerals and the christenings. We want you to be a part of us. And from what I know, that does not take place from individuals from a lighter hue. Let's say you.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead, Alvin Russell.
This is such a layer
thank you, Atlanta.
Nuance and heavy conversation. And I appreciate everybody's contribution. so far. Before I go on, caller,
you're on the line. Go ahead, caller.
I'd like to listen in a little bit, if I might. Get it on TuneIn.
Certainly. So the point that I was going to make is that this is such a nuanced and layered conversation. So much robustness has been said already, but I will say this. I think this idea of race and ethnicity in the Bahamas is very complex, and it's more complex to me even than what my brothers and sisters across the pond in the United States deal with it. I think racism in the United States is very clear. It has less ambiguity. But when you move or lived in the United States as a person of color from the Caribbean, and specifically talking as a Bahamian, having lived there for 20 years, I think that what happens is, you know, my little sister and I were having a conversation, and she lives in North Carolina, and she was mentioning how she had an interaction with one of the doctors there who was from Africa, and was asking about the interactions with the other folks in the office. And she mentioned that if you look for anything deep enough and long enough, you will find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you and I go to a restaurant served by a white waitress in South Carolina, that has more context than going to the United States being served by a white waitress in New York. That mm-hmm. has more context, that has a different context being served by a white waitress in St. Louis.
Mm. Explain that for the people who are not that exposed.
If you are treated poorly in the restaurant served by a white waitress in South Carolina.
South Carolina is the south, the yes. which is right north of Florida.
You might feel as though she is being discriminatory toward you.
Yes.
That same scenario taking place in New York City, you might ascribe the situation to her having a bad day.
Or just a New York way to do things.
Or
quickly.
Just a New York way to
and
do
impersonal.
Things.
And impersonal, yes.
Okay?
Okay.
St. Louis, similar to what you would experience in New York. I say that to say this. Two things can be true at the same time.
Of course.
We can be challenged with racism in the Bahamas and also not challenged with racism in the Bahamas at the same time. Mr. Moscow's experience could be his experience where he feels discriminated against, or to use his terminology,
would he be wrong
reversely
for that?
Discriminated against. That's his experience.
But would he be wrong for that?
No, he wouldn't be wrong because that's his experience.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay?
We're breaking it down. Go ahead.
The same way another white Bahamian, Mr. Brent Simonet, Mr. Larry Cartwright, Mr. Adrian White, might feel completely different from him about their white experience in the Bahamas because they sit at the table. They have been given access, and these is Darwin's words, given access to the table that Mr. Moscow has said, denied by his proverbial brothers
okay.
and sisters, right? So I'm saying you can choose a multitude of scenarios where my experience as a black Bahamian, his experience as a white Bahamian may be completely opposite, and you can find other white people whose experience is similar to mine.
Let me hear what this caller has to say. Caller, you're listening to Darwin Russell. Go ahead.
I was finding it very interesting, his comments, and thinking how urgently we need a general customer service retraining program in the Bahamas. Not
certainly.
Just for our own selves.
Certainly.
I am a firm believer in the Bahamian Constitution part that refers to us as the inheritors and successors to this wonderful piece of real estate. And so my retraining program was focused on having Bahamians treated as the inheritors and successors of this wonderful place rather than annoyance and a guaranteed 15% tip. Mm-hmm. We need a total retraining program. Ever since the introduction of the 15% gratuity, the whole idea of service in the country has It disappeared. We used to be the number one white glove service place in the world. We had beaten Paris for the quality of service that you could get at Paradise Island under a maitre d' named boy.
Wait a minute. This sounds like Philip or Lady Russell.
Yes.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, and I took a while to pick up. My apologies. Go ahead, lady. My apologies.
I was trying to get you on TuneIn but I think I got to buy some new earphones.
Okay, so no problem. Well, go ahead.
Number one, we're talking about, but as I was listening to Darwin, very brilliant person, I kept thinking about our own experience and our own need for retraining in the Bahamas. So Stafford Sun gave us an awesome model after Cuba failed, well, after Cuba succumbed to the American embargo. We had an opportunity to become the number one tourism place in this hemisphere.
Yes.
But the training that Sir Stafford had put in place for Bahamians, whom he took abroad and took this product, this tourism product, this number one product that we have, it was overseen by him, including the change of money that fixed our dollar to the U.S. dollar. He was a brilliant man. But we haven't looked at the product. We haven't thought to improve it. We haven't brushed it off. We haven't polished it up. And so you have all these people that have just shown up. They're not trained in anything, not even English.
So let me ask you this then, lady. You mentioned the name Sir Stafford.
Sachs. Yes.
And he would have been, what type of Bahamian? Would he be Caucasian, white?
He would have been a white Bahamian.
He's white. Oh.
He was considered white, even though there might have been some Negro.
He's a white Sands.
Yeah, he was a white Sands.
Although I discussed it, right? So you're saying that this gentleman who's of the who's white, and I do believe he existed during the time of the UBP, yes?
Correct.
Okay, good. I just want to make this clear to the Bahamian people. Now, you're telling me that he left a plan in place in the realm of tourism in this country.
Yes.
Something that would have guaranteed the participants, no matter what your economic value was, there was a place for you in the Bahamian economy at that particular time, based on his plan.
Yes.
It didn't have anything to do with you were born in Bain Town, or you were born over there in, let's say, Farm Road or St. Barnabas. If you wanted a piece of the pie, this plan allowed you to have the decency to make some money.
Yes.
Okay,
but
good.
Training was an essential part of the foundation.
So Stafford sounds like all of us will move on. Someone else is going to take over. Our ministers of tourism and those responsible, I don't think we've had a white one that was that significant thereafter I can think about. When did we stop this training that you're speaking about? Which era would you say that is?
We fell down sometime after, let's say, Vanderpool Wallace.
Okay, after Vanderpool Wallace, and he was the Free National Movement.
97.
Yeah. Okay. Somewhere in that realm
the
there,
yeah.
we dropped the ball entirely.
You dropped the ball?
Yeah,
okay.
Completely dropped the ball. We're not clear on what we're doing. We say we're number one in tourism, but we don't have the focus on training. We don't have a focus on you know, there's a form that people fill out to tell you about their experience that they've had here as tourists. I don't know if we have a department that goes through that form. I was responsible for customer service at Paradise Island for a good while when it was Resort International.
Okay.
And we paid complete attention to what guests had to say from when they landed until they left.
Okay.
And if there was a problem in their experience, my job was to write to them and tell them, you're welcome to again for a complimentary 4 day, 3 night stay.
Okay.
And they would always ask, are you paying for the airfare? Well, of course, the answer was no to that.
Well, lady,
but
listen.
We kept people coming back, and everything, any complaint that they had was answered with a food basket or a complimentary meal at Cafe Martinique or some other elegant restaurant.
But was that done?
In this business.
Was that done, Lady Russell, at an individual property level, or was that done nationally across the tourism product, regardless of the hotel you stayed at?
Well, that was the Paradise Resort and Casino approach.
Yeah.
I never worked at any other facility.
And I think that's the challenge. I think, you know, and I had a talk this week, and we were talking about the budget, and we got into the weeds about this issue around who does the tourism product really belong to? Does it belong to the Bahamians or does it belong to the developers? Mm-hmm. And I argue that it belongs to the developers because they create and curate what the Bahamian experience is.
Did Sir Stafford Sands set it up like that?
Sir Stafford Sands' model, to me, was more about the economic value of tourism, not so much the cultural value of tourism, if you will, right? It was a model, to me, that allowed, to your point, the masses to work,
mm-hmm.
for there to be employment. We benefited from the cultural identity that we had, that the tourists appreciated, and was more of an immersive experience, if you will. But I don't know if that was his stated objective, as you will. I think it was more of an economic idea.
It was a currency.
Yes.
It's a currency.
Not necessarily.
Lady Russell. But you go ahead, Lady Russell. Go ahead.
Let me argue. Sir Stafford is responsible for causing tourism to come over the hill, which gave rise to the nightclub,
yes.
the Bahamian nightclub experience.
Yes. Jumay Village.
The gentleman, what was his name, who owned the Zanzibar.
Peanuts, Tail, and all the rest of those guys, their performances. Lady Russell, let me show you where I want to go with this, if I may. Because mm-hmm. I like to keep my show running on a thread, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what you're mentioning to us is very important. Now, watch what I'm saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
So Stafford was a white Bahamian.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who had a national plan that goes that goes out internationally to to benefit the people of this nation.
Okay.
Watch out. So I start with one man, I go to the nation, I go internationally, and I come back to the nation where you, the one man, can now boast about being a Bahamian and putting some money in your pocket. Right?
Yeah.
The caller earlier, Mr. Marshall, was saying mm-hmm. about representation of white people and reverse racism, that it almost seems as if we have barred out those people of the lighter skin hue from involvement in our parliament and in our legislation of this country. Now, this is what I want to put to you.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this now. Watch this. The UBP years in this country, I'm talking about pre-1967 era.
Yeah.
Look at the pictures and the videos of this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you could call me anything you want to call me. You could call this phone line. You could cuss me raw. Look at those pictures and look at how clean the Bahamas was.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how picturesque it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even though we were under the iron fist of a particular race of people,
mm-hmm.
The level of organization was stellar. I'm not saying that we ought to try to replicate racism or the plantation lifestyle. I'm simply saying that if a plan was laid out from us from these people, and we inherited it by way of, in quote, independence.
Mm-hmm.
That treasure that was given to us as a, I can say it straight, a black people.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do with that treasure? Now we have a question mark of the white representation. The white representation brought something to the table. Now, when I was growing up, Lady Russell, I worked for Roberts Furniture at the time. I worked for Mr. Pinder at Sears Hill. I worked with white people. And there was a certain, I just say, Darwin, I may be wrong. I may be wrong. But I had a certain pride working for these white people. You could call me whatever you want to call me, house Negro, whatever you want to call me. But I was so happy working with these people because you always got paid on time.
They had standards.
There were standards. I'm not trying to excuse racism here, Darwin, but there were standards.
Don't worry. I ready for him, Lady Russell. I got to let him finish.
You know, Lady Russell, because, you know, I'm just late as good. People like you and Shanique Miller and Howard Grant, y'all have brought me into this realm. What's his name? Ortland Bode, Utah Taylor Roll, even Lincoln Bean. Y'all brought me into the radio world.
Yeah.
But Lady Russell is my go-to girl. We've been friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. Lady Russell, we know that there is a stigma in this country that there is no way, as a black people, that we're going to allow a white prime minister. Yes or no? Am I a liar or am I telling the truth?
That's true.
Well, that was very unfortunate because I always thought that Brent Simonis would make an ideal prime minister based on his father's level of service, based on the kind of financial achievements that Simonis has made. I always thought that he would have made a very decent prime minister if given an opportunity. he didn't have faith in his own ability, and so he backed others. And that is sad, because with the backing of others, you get the negativity of their personality or the short-sightedness of their vision.
If I were to join you in that, let's say I decided that I agree with you, and I'm going to let Darvin respond to this as well. Let's say I was to join in with that with you. Mr. Brent Simnet then not making the mark. He became deputy prime minister, but he now became prime minister. And if it was their goal to be the prime minister of this country to show that we are not racist, we don't have reverse racism in this country, then he would be under obligation to select such person, bring them to the forefront, and ensure that they have a fair chance of becoming the prime minister of this country. Now, that person is Adrian White, who is in St. Anne's. You have to ask yourself the question, when we look at Adrian White, even if we didn't look at his skin color, would you say that he is prime minister material? If you say that he is not prime minister material, then that means that Brent Simonet needs to find another horse. Whether you're white or not, you don't have it. Now, there's some other people. You say, I'd be a little mischievous. There's some other people in this country who are black. And we're looking at them in politics, and we know they can't be no prime minister because they just don't have it. Am I talking straight?
You're talking sense.
Okay, so let me go back to Sir Stafford Sands. See, Darvin got his face a little makeup right now. Let me go back to Sir Stafford Sands now. Mm-hmm. If this man could bring a national plan to the country, if Sir Lennon can bring national plans to this country, these people can bring national plans to the country. These are the people that we need to find, whether they are white, black, or Chinese, and say, you know what? We need this national plan in order to save our nation, go internationally, bring the revenue back to the nation so that you and I can make a dollar bill to survive in this world.
Exactly.
Right now, we don't have that because we're too busy seeing black and white, color of the flag, PLP, FNM, COI. And in this silly season, Lady Russell, before we take this break, we prepared to annihilate one another, decimate each other, and Lady Russell, stay on the line because I know you're going to like this one. And prepare to let the foreigner come into this country, whether by boat or by plane, and take our Bahamas over. Stay on the line, Mr. Producer. Let's go to a break.
I'll be right here.
Ooh,
winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live life. It's good to be alive.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I have to give a special shout out to my main man, Wally, our producer today, who makes sure that we hear and remark, have a great time. And when he tells me to go on with my bad self, Darvin Russell already told me, boy, I can't wait to get my teeth in you. Lady Russell, you still there?
I'm here.
Well, you know, you are my guest from Zoom. For those who don't know Lady Russell, she could not sit in the studio with us, but I did tell her she can give us a call in, and I appreciate her spending time with us here on Remark. And for those who want to join in the conversation, let me throw those numbers in there real quick, and then I'll allow Lady Russell to make her input, and then Darvin Russell can respond. And if you do decide to call in, of course, we will take your call. The phone numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. Before Lady Russell comes in, Darvin, any text you want to read?
Okay, so a couple of texts came in. The first one says, good afternoon, Garth. Please ask your Greek caller, when have they stepped up to get involved in politics? Mm-hmm. If he's this passionate about where the white faces are, why haven't they asserted themselves in that arena? They chose the path of making the Bahamian people's money, but if they were so concerned about governance, then they should have pushed for those positions.
Mm.
Second comment. Garth, I think it's quite despicable that Mr. Davis can come on the radio and insult people. This is not becoming, and it doesn't make good radio. So you can see quite passionate perspectives by both of those text messages. We try to be balanced on this show, and we certainly try to give everybody the opportunity. And I think we allow our callers to say what they have to say without being disrespectful. Sometimes you have to cut people off, but we want to keep the discourse at a particular level. So, Lady Russell, please, your contributions before I say what I got to say to my friend.
You're not anxious to beat me today?
I ready. I stay ready.
At the end of June?
At the end of June. I could beat you into independence.
Come on, my Lord. Go ahead, Lady Russell.
I didn't hear all of that. I unfortunately live in the middle of town, and between the policeman, the ambulance, and the Creole noise, is becoming a very loud place.
Oh wow!
You had a text to call in to say, were they pleased or displeased?
They seem displeased, generally speaking, both of them.
Mm. There is a call on the line, Lady Russell. I don't know if you want to take that call. Caller, go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air.
Caller, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air, caller.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air, sir.
I'm just following your program relative to racism and politics in the Bahamas.
Yes, sir. What's your contribution? You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Perfectly.
Sorry?
We can hear you perfectly. Go ahead and make your contribution.
Turn your radio down, but go ahead.
You had an earlier caller who spoke about reverse racism, which I found quite enlightening and surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I'm embarrassing to himself, actually, because if he can speak confidently about his parents arriving here in 1930s plus, and at this stage they are entitled to leadership, ownership, just by birth or timing, he had to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Africans who were brought here, what are they entitled to?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is this, that there has to be a willing, wanting to be a part of a country.
Sure.
Not a matter of someone call you in or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have white police. We don't have no white people in any government institutions.
Mm-hmm.
They stand back and make money. They contend to be businessmen, businesswomen, and be satisfied to tell us what to do, how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel that some of us feel comfortable with that type of environment, but that is not the case. So I think he needs to be drawn out and pointed out for what he is, a fundamental racist. Whether you reverse it or forward it, that's what he is.
Thank you for your contribution
or allowing me to contribute.
All right, sir.
Wow. Lady Russell, go ahead.
Yeah, I can. Well, I missed that call. I was trying to get in. I missed the person who said that they felt that they were dealing with reverse racism.
Yes.
I suspect that he could be correct because we haven't paid attention to the details.
Mm-hmm.
As I shared with you, once we got to the majority rule, part of the equation where Sir Stafford and them left the country and just couldn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
But see, there was a whole bit of history that we were never taught.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it was Sir Stafford's money that paid for the education of a lot of the people who came to do the majority rule thing. He recognized that the world was changing, and that black people would have a greater inclusion in the management of the Bahamas. He had no interest in what the South African model of apartheid He had no interest in that. He was a smart businessman. In addition to taking Bahamians abroad to show the culture and to show why people should come here to invest and enjoy their vacations, he was not a man of prejudice. I think Bradley Roberts, in the liquor business, and he was a trained accountant. A lot of Bahamians got a very important financial start from this man. Mm-hmm. What we didn't do once Pinling became prime minister, we didn't pay enough attention, as I said earlier, to the training of Bahamians to give service across the board to our own people.
I like that, Lady Russell.
It's Bahamians who suffered the most.
I like it, Lady Russell. Let me just take a quick caller. Caller, go ahead, please. Go ahead, caller.
Hey there, it's Nico.
Oh, Nico, just give us 30 seconds. What you got? Because I got Lady Russell on the line.
Well, fair enough. I heard, this guy that came on after me, and anyway, he called me asinine. I have 160 IQ, apparently, and he is an absolute fool.
Nico, I don't want to get too personal today, but the question they're asking you...
Reverse racism lives.
Nico, the question they're asking you is that, have you ever aspired to be in politics? I guess I lost him. Go ahead, Lady Russell.
I would not discourage what he's saying, because he might very well experience some poorly trained, I don't like white people, Bahamians in this country, because we haven't trained that out of them.
But I think that this is deeper than that.
Give them a tray and tell them go to work without any formal training in the food and beverage industry. How do I know? Mm-hmm. I was a cocktail waitress in the El Casino. They gave me the tray. I fell down a bunch of times before I learned to balance it. And so, because I had personal pride and dignity, I learned how to be an excellent waitress. There was no training program. So what I'm telling you is, we have inherited a mega trillion-dollar product and haven't paid attention to the essentials of training. Of course, our white Bahamians are catching hell. Nobody told them that they're as much Bahamian as the black Bahamian. Nobody told them. So you're dealing with some illiterate, untrained, or poorly trained people who are in charge of a mega billion-dollar industry named the Bahamas. It's not just tourism. It's on every level of service we fall down, because we have put an untrained person to that telephone, to that counter. We're not paying attention, or we don't know how it works.
You know, I can accept that those criticisms around customer service. Anybody that moves around this country knows that we have to step our game back up in that particular area. But let me go back to something that my good friend said prior to us taking a break. And this is the thing that I think presents a challenge when you listen to people, when educated Bahamians absorb the discourse that we sometimes have. One of the problems that we have is when we associate, Garth had mentioned that, you know, if you look at the photos of the Bahamas back in the 60s or what have you, it was a clean place, right? And at the time that we were under minority rule. The problem when you make associations with that is it further places in the psyche of a person that white is right and black is not.
No.
Let me finish.
We
did not say that. I'm saying the subtext of what is the way that is received
by you,
by me,
yes,
and many others is when it was under minority white rule, things were working, and now that it is under majority black rule, things are not working. The problem with that analysis, not only does it simplify a complex problem, it is false. If you say that, then that says that the businesses that Darwin runs, the businesses that all of the black friends that Darwin has, all of the family members that Darwin has, their businesses are poorly run. And I can tell you categorically that that is not the case. I can tell you categorically that I provide excellent service, and so do the people that I know who run businesses who are black Bahamians.
But why you had to go there?
Now, no, because what we do is we make extrapolations across a population that's not factual. So one of the things we do on Remark is we talk facts
okay.
on Remark.
Okay, let me
so,
fix this.
No.
I don't want to go too far.
No. We got plenty more show. We got plenty more show.
You trying to put the nail in my hand.
I can do that. I can do that.
And I need to tell you this.
You know how to resurrect yourself, right?
I didn't go down that road with you.
No, you didn't.
No.
I'm saying to you.
I said to you, the country appeared, I used the word appeared, which is a visual, appeared to be cleaner and more organized. Now, you got people throwing garbage at the window, fridge on the side of the road.
Yes.
And all, these things never happened back then because they were putting legislation and enforcement in place to ensure that we stayed that way.
Never and always. Careful.
No. We're talking about organization now. We're talking about appearance. So when a tourist comes to this country, we were talking about tourism earlier.
Yes.
When a tourist comes to this country, the appearance of our country was, I'm not worrying about the racism part at this point.
Ahead.
The appearance of the country seemed cleaner and more organized. That's what I'm saying. Now, you look at it today, man, roads, lights, this, that, the baby, people could tell you they got issues in this country. And I'm saying it appeared then that those issues did not exist for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we are in charge,
I'm
saying to you the management of our country seems to be lacking for whatever reason that is. Now, you're telling me that isn't factual. I want to know if that's factual or not.
No, I am telling you. That is a function of leadership, not of race. That's the point.
That's the point I'm making.
No.
When we agree on this, what you fighting me for? You tell me you're going to beat me. I had to make that clear. Man, Wally, I so appreciate you. Because we ain't playing no Rocky Balboa song here. We got Lady Russell on the line, folks. Here with Darvin Russell, Remark, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected. Live your life. It's good to be alive.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And we're back. Time is ticking away. But you know, I promised you, while Wally's jamming, you stop the jam, man, because we got to cool these people down or there. It's hot. We're soon going to be out of here, but our lines are lit up. Lady Russell, just hold for me a minute. Let's take this caller on the line. Our phones are all lit up. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good afternoon, God, and good afternoon to your guests.
Hey, God.
Good afternoon,
I'm going to try to be as quick as possible, seeing that your time is running down. But I feel as if the history and the time of the white involvement in this country is over. I think that's the past. I think we need to start to look toward the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the future would be, and I'm going to put it in a type of scenario so you can think about it.
Okay.
These islands first belonged to the Arawaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, the Europeans came, and then they were the ones who were in control.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, you know, we believe we take over to majority rule,
mm-hmm.
right? So now we believe we're in charge, right? But mm-hmm. now we have another group of individuals here who the Bahamians like to talk about, what did they get into politics, and they talk about the Haitian people.
Yes.
right? But what I want to ask you guys is, because we're going to have to be fair, mm-hmm. all right? We're going to have to be fair about how it is that this land changes, like, who runs it. And so we have this principle called majority rule.
Yes.
Right? We have this principle called majority rule. So what we have to be looking for in the future now mm-hmm. is that our Haitian brothers and sisters who are Bahamians, you know what I mean, because black just like us, even though they might come from Haiti, but they are Bahamians now, and they have a voting bloc. So if they become the majority, right, and if they rule, we shouldn't have a problem with that. Do you understand? If majority rules. See, that's what we need to start to look now. And see, I don't mm-hmm. have a problem with that because I personally feel.
Mm-hmm. That's the answer, honey.
Go ahead. Go with Lady Russell.
The majority to whom the Constitution refers are majority Bahamians.
Can I finish my point, please?
All right.
Go ahead, sir.
Can I finish my point, please? Yeah, so what
I was
saying is that...
Go ahead, sir.
I don't feel as if that they're going to turn the place into some little Haiti, mm-hmm. because I feel mm-hmm. as if that... Can you please let me speak?
No, she's on the phone. She's not in the studio, so she's hearing a different... A different sound. So, Lady Russell, he said he can't speak because he's hearing you...
Okay, I'll be quiet.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, what I was about to say is that I don't feel as if they're going to turn into a little Haiti because they're all on the same ship as we are. So I feel as if that they're going to want to know who's here. They're going to want the country to run in a way that is in good governance, right? But on top of that, too, they'll have a mentality, right, as from black people to understand our suffering. Do you understand? And I feel as if that they would make laws and rules here, coming from a country that has truly a republic, coming from a country that has a true independence, that fought for it. So I feel as if that is what we need to consider now. The white man is the past, all right? Because I'm certain that when they were in power, they were in there debating, or you know something. I think we need to consider them folks. We had to fight for that, all right? We had to demand that. You understand? So we shouldn't be here trying to talk about how we need to welcome them back in, or whatever the case would be, how we could get them back in here. If they want to get back in here, let them fight for it too. Let them unite or whatever and come with some kind of base and try to show us that they deserve to rule or whatever. But like I said before, I think our focus needs to be on the future. And the future is that our Haitian brothers and sisters who are Bahamians also, you know what I mean, they are excelling. The children are learning. They are well-educated. And I feel as if that we need to operate. What is the criteria? Is it majority rule? And if it's majority rule, and if they become the majority and they rule, then we shouldn't fight.
Okay, let me fix this. I appreciate your call. Like I said, the phone lines are lit up now. You're all going to try to crucify me. Lady Russell, give me a minute there. Listen, let me put this to you this way. I would never dare say that a race of people is in the past. I, for one, I do not prefer to see race or color. That's just me personally. Mm-hmm. My faith in a higher being doesn't allow me to see a particular color. It allows me to see the character of a man. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is a rising population of people in this country mm-hmm. that come from the South mm-hmm. that does belong to a republic. And they have been made independent by way of revolution, and they continue to come to this country and thrive. When it comes to the majority rule and the whole idea of we are now in charge, but we have another group of people that are rising in numbers that mm-hmm. may one day become majority rule, let me fix this for you. Mm-hmm. When the majority rule came, we cannot look at majority rule as a sense of power an achievement, and I think that's what we did. We made it into an entity of strength where we can now run the show. Let me fix this for you. Now that you can run the show, let me show you the importance of running the show, what the show means. You are no longer threatened by white, by Haitian, by European, by American, by any other entity other than yourself. And this is the one thing that's a pet peeve of mine, and this is a show all unto itself, Darvin mm-hmm. Russell, when we talk about political respect.
Sure.
Political respect may be a party for you. It may even be a community for you. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, when you go home, into your gate, through your door, mm-hmm. politics must still exist. Mm-hmm. You must have a belief in you that I must wake up tomorrow morning and govern myself. Whatever the external factors are when I leave my house and hit a public road, I govern myself. If your day starts with prayer and fasting, you must do that because that is what is going to bring you strength throughout the day. If it means that you must come home at night and open a book, you know what a book is, right? Because people look like they don't know what book is no more. They only know cell phone. Open a book and get some knowledge and get some education. So that when you go on the job, you're not getting a promotion based on you being PLP or FNM or COI. Nobody got to give you nothing because you white or because you black or because you Chinese or because you Haitian. You see, it doesn't matter who is around you. When I went to school in America, I was surrounded by Americans, white, black, Asian, Chinese. I was surrounded with Africans, people from all over the world. And I sat in a classroom. And in that classroom, Darvin Russell, you know what I had to do? I had to compete to get an A grade. Somebody can get F and somebody can get C. But I need an A. And I'm going to determine in my mind I'm getting an A. In Nassau, where do you live? Some say, oh, I live East Street. Some say we live out east. Some live out south. I prefer to live out west. Who makes that happen? I do. If I got to go there and sell peanuts, and I got to sell newspaper, and I got to go fishing, and I got to look for bees and honey, and I got to go build somebody's bathroom or shingle somebody's roof, I have to manage myself and manage my money. This is what it's all about, having a gate. A gate means that I can exist in any society as long as I govern myself. The people today seem as if we want the government to think for us and to give us the wealth that they promised us. Nobody, I want you all to listen to me today, nobody is going to give you anything because you can't get something for nothing. It ain't going to happen. Where did you white? You see these white people? Go on Shirley Street to Taylor Industries. They close. Go down further to Albury's. They white, you know. They close. When I was growing up, I got all my clothes from GR Sweden. They close. You know why? Because white people suffer the same fate of black people. And if you could go out there and you could go there as a striving person to create generational wealth and your children ain't worth 2 cents, because you know what? Everybody could go to government school in this country. You tell me why you got 30 Haitian children in a school, classroom, and 6 Bahamian people, right? 30 to 6. Why the Haitian people in the top 10? Who fault that is? It ain't their fault. Their education is free. You, the 6, you got to go home and do your homework. But after school, generally speaking, we as the people, we outside playing. We playing. Them children, they're home with candlelight and they study. You know what? Why? They saying, I don't want to have to go through the same things what my mommy and daddy went through. Cutting grass and being somebody made or whatever the case may be. You know how I know this? Because I lived in America. When I got to America, I was the Haitian. I was the one who had to try to get in through the back door. So whereas I would never be a janitor in the Bahamas, when I go into school in America, guess who had the mop and the friggin' broom? Guess who was washing dishes in the cafeteria? Guess who it was who was out there selling books on the side of the road? Guess who was the security guard? You're looking at him, this guy's Rose Burrow. I had to do all these menial jobs for minimum wage to get to where I am today. When the Haitian comes here, they come here on minimum wage, but look at them tomorrow. And I can tell you this for a fact. Mother Cynthia Pratt, I can let Darvin take the mic from here. Mother Cynthia Pratt lives on 6th Street, the Grove, yes or no? My grandmother lived across the street. See, you're going to know some things. The people who rent there right now, 6th Street, the Grove, across the intersection, they Haitian. Do you know Mother Cynthia Pratt actually put in place the process necessary for that Haitian boy to go to school in Cuba, and today he's a doctor in our hospital? How do you answer that? You weren't with race. People want to survive. And if you want to survive and be the best in parliament, if you want to be the prime minister, if you want to be a great business person like my good friend Darvin Russell. See, I love Darvin. This man is top-notch. He does not get that going to bed 1 o'clock in the morning playing video games and waking up 10 o'clock in the morning to say, you know what, let me finish my video game. This man, he almost want to cuss me up, but he's a child of God, you see. 7 o'clock, he's going to bed. And first thing in the morning, Darvin Russell is up and he's going to go make this money. People, nobody's going to give you nothing based on no color, based on no race.
This whole thing with being a Bohemian is not a lazy thing. This is a thing where we got to get up, forward, upward, onward, together. If you are not planning on getting up yourself and moving forward, this country is going to leave you behind and someone else is going to take it away from you. Lady Russell, give some closing remarks and then Darwin Russell.
You're out of time, I take it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you got 3 minutes and Darwin got three. I can't take no more callers. I'm sorry, callers, but it was a great day. You can call me back next week. I will take your call. But go ahead, Lady Russell, with your closing comments.
I just wanted to say, and maybe we can deal with it next week, the problem that the Bahamians face right at the moment is there are a number of people with fake documents that are pretending to be Bahamian that intend to change the alter the course and destiny of this entire state. It will not be allowed. The Privy Council exists to back up the Bahamian Constitution. And so who is a Bahamian is very clear. And we will make sure that everyone understands.
Well, Lady Russell wants to talk about immigration next week. Darwin Russell would say ye, and what are your closing remarks? I might be able to take one more call. I don't know. I see the lines a little, but let's go ahead.
No, I think that this was a very robust conversation today. Hopefully, it didn't bend too many people out of shape to the point that they didn't listen to some of the callers, even though they may have disagreed with them. Look, some of the points that Gart made were very well appreciated. I think what he was elucidating was the fact that it's the nature of an immigrant to work hard, to strive for a better life from where they came from. Whether that be a Haitian in the Bahamas or a Bahamian in America and Canada, that's the nature of an immigrant. And that same Bahamian who is willing to take that menial job in America, you have to question, though, if that work ethic exists in you, where was that work ethic when you were home?
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that.
My difficulty is the fact that we have allowed, as Bahamians, we have allowed ourselves to lose ground. We have allowed ourselves to be mediocre. And that is not culturally the Bahamian identity.
That's true.
We have always been known as a striving race of people. We have always been known as a hardworking race of people. I have watched my father up until the time that he retired go to work every single day. Work when he's home, work on the weekends. He took Sundays off. My mother is the same way. My siblings are the same. My nieces, my nephews are the same. They are in school. They are working to get good grades, to get good opportunities. The people that I know, the Bahamians that I know, that is what they are doing. So when I see that to the left and to the right, to the north and to the south, you tell me that Bahamians are losing ground. Bahamians are the last in the class. Bahamians are slunking. That I do not identify with those attributes of Bahamianism.
Yes, I agree.
Right? That is not what I have come to know and represent as being Bahamian. When we travel, Bahamians are known for certain things, and I can promise you it's not laziness.
Yeah.
It's not lack of intellectual dexterity.
Yeah.
It's not unintelligent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nasty. It's not lazy.
I like it.
Don't let me go down my resume tonight because we don't have time for it. So I will just say to my brothers and sisters, let us raise the standard back to what we know the standard is.
Yes.
Not what you think it should be. Raise it to where the standard is and always has been. And that, my friends, has always been top notch. It's a great Sunday in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I will leave it right there. We will see you guys next Sunday. And if it's 5 o'clock on a Sunday, you will be listening to Remark on Guardian Radio 96.9. Have a great Sunday, everybody. Be blessed.
For you, I really have so much love. Dollar bills and coins will fade away. Could never make I so grow. Love, woman, and child.